Hello and welcome to South Asia Chat, brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. I'm your host, Nitya Subramanian, an editor at the Institute. Moving away from its traditional partner, the Bharatiya Janata Party, the Shiv Sena last year entered into an alliance with Sharad Pawar's NCP and a few others to form the government in Maharashtra. It is now almost a year since this alliance came into power and has faced many challenges. To give us more details on Maharashtra politics and the Shiv Sena in particular, we have with us Dr. Rajeshwari Deshpande, Professor and Director of the Interdisciplinary School in Social Sciences at Pune University. She has been tracking the state's politics for several years now. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Rajeshwari. We are very happy for you to join us at South Asia Chat.
Thanks. It's my pleasure.
So I'd like to start by asking you about Shiv Sena's performance in this. It's almost coming to a year this November. So how would you assess the Shiv Sena's performance in Maharashtra, especially with regard to managing its allies and the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes. As you said, now it's been almost a year that Shiv Sena is in power, exactly 1 year since Shiv Sena is in power in the state, along with its two allies, the Nationalist Congress Party and the Indian National Congress, that is the Congress Party. And as you also know, that it is that way a very weak coalition, which was formed after the elections. To the Maharashtra Assembly in Maharashtra Legislative Assembly in October 2019, 1 year ago. And BJP, in terms of the electoral arithmetic, the BJP still emerged as a winner in those elections in the sense that it was the largest single party, single largest party with 105 seats. So Shiv Sena came together, and there was we all witnessed a lot of drama, political drama, after these elections, when one of the prominent leaders of the NCP joined hands with the BJP, and the BJP government was established for a couple of days in the state. So it is in the context of this high voltage political drama, and also in the context of, we can say, a somewhat awkward kind of political party system that is emerging in Maharashtra at the moment, that Shiv Sena came to power. So as far as its perform, and unfortunately immediately after its coming to power in a few months, so to say, the new government had to face this uncertainty about the COVID pandemic. So in terms of its assessment of, on both counts, its performance and its management of the alliance, political alliance, of which it is part, and also in terms of managing the pandemic, we have to keep in mind this political context of the state, which dominates and which sort of engulfs Shiv Sena's activities. I would say that definitely in that context, at least in the initial period, as far as management of COVID is concerned, especially the chief minister of the state, Uddhav Thackeray, came out as a very capable person, he had a very assuring kind of presence on television and otherwise in the media. And the people also had a very positive image of the new chief minister. Of course, as we see, Maharashtra is one of the worst affected states of COVID pandemic. And clearly there have been serious issues of governance, also because of the fact that Maharashtra has Mumbai within it, where any kind of effective management of COVID or such pandemics, like any other mega city in the world, would have been extremely difficult for any government. So in that sense, I would say that it's been a reasonably all right performance in spite of the media reports, which essentially are trying to create a certain kind of perception. They are the media reports, and the popular media reports especially are mainly about creating certain kind of perceptions. Of course, Shiv Sena's performance in terms of managing its allies would always be judged again in the context of this emerging party system, because Shiv Sena was always part of the BJP-led alliance. And that alliance had survived for a long time. In the post-2014, the BJP-Shiv Sena alliance itself had some problems, many issues. And those issues are essentially located to Shiv Sena's position as a regional political party. And also, as I have been saying, it is also connected to the overall structuring of the party system in Maharashtra. Because after the Congress's decline, the decline of the Congress system, Maharashtra was, no single party was ever able to sort of rule over Maharashtra, or no single party had a kind of decisive control over Maharashtra's politics, including the Nationalist Congress Party led by Sharad Pawar or even the BJP. In that sense, the politics was always dominated by alliances, and therefore, as a result of that, these alliances always also faced internal kind of differences, and there were a lot of conflicts and contestations going on during this entire period. Compared to that, mainly because it's a post-election and more sort of opportunistic kind of alliance in the good sense of the term, we don't see much kind of infighting going on at present between the Shiv Sena and the NCP. There have been small sort of skirmishes, but otherwise it is comparably, if you look at the 2014-2019 period, comparably it's a more smooth kind of functioning of alliance between these three parties, because all parties are interested in keeping the BJP at bay, at least for the moment. And Congress practically has no role in Maharashtra's politics as of today.
Yes, Dr. Rajeshwari, keeping the BJP at bay, but the BJP is not at bay, it looks like, because they do have the governor who is a BJP politician from Uttarakhand. And there seems to be certain skirmishes between the governor and the Shiv Sena government. Most recently, of course, with the comment on Hindutva and reopening of temples. So how do you view this relationship, the governor-state relationship, which has again come into focus in the recent year?
Yeah, I think in a way, I mean, as you know, this issue in that sense is not confined to Maharashtra alone. Wherever we have these non-BJP governments, we find certain kind of contestations again emerging between the governor of the state and the ruling parties of the state. And this has happened, I mean, West Bengal is a very prominent example of that. But as far as Maharashtra is concerned, there is an additional dimension to this kind of a relationship between a governor and the non-BJP government, or oppositional, so to say, government in the state. And it emerges, it is again, it can be traced back to this political drama that I was talking about, where the governor, on behalf of the central government and on behalf of the BJP, intervened, hurriedly established a new government in the state after the 2019 assembly elections. So since then, I mean, from that point onwards, the relationship has always been very contentious. And the governor has played a political role, as far as the governor's office and the relationship between the chief minister's office is concerned. Perhaps the recent incident was only one such incident where we see both certain kind of an institutional failure. And that has also been a kind of continuous feature of the way in which the central government rules at present. So this is again not confined to Maharashtra, but also a complete politicization of the institutions, a large-scale politicization of the institutions. And I see this controversy over a particular remark by the governor as a part of this larger issue. As to the way in which the governor and the non-BJP governments, the relationship between these two institutions is developing at the moment.
Yes, and as we talk about politicization and the involvement, intervention of central government agencies, we saw that happening during the investigation of the death of actor Sushant Singh Rajput. You know, what would have been a routine investigation became political because central agencies descended and intervened. So how do you think the Shiv Sena has handled this situation? And do you think it has dented its position? Yesterday, we also heard the Shiv Sena, saying that they would not permit the central agencies to come into their state. So this is also a new development that has happened. So how do you think this situation has been handled or has unfolded?
Yeah, let me quickly answer the second part of your question, whether it would dent Shiv Sena's position in any way. And there perhaps we have to go back to the way in which Shiv Sena is structured, or the trajectory of Shiv Sena as a regional political party. And Shiv Sena was always involved in this kind of contentious politics. And it also it was always involved in street politics. By street politics, I mean to say the Shiv Sena also always waded through the roughhouse of politics at various levels during the course of its development. This is not something new to Shiv Sena, and that's why it as a ruling party sometimes. It surprised people that Shiv Sena would react to the Sushant Singh Rajput, the Shiv Sena leadership would react to this particular controversy, Sushant Singh Rajput controversy, in a particular way or in a political way, or to Kangana Ranaut controversy in a particular way. But that has been something, an internal, the way in which Shiv Sena has always functioned. So it is for the first time it is acting as a ruling party. Although it was a part of the coalition earlier, ruling coalition earlier, but on its own, as far as Shiv Sena's political culture is concerned, it doesn't have that ruling party temperament, if you know what I mean. And as a result of that, these reactions, in fact, would not affect the image of Shiv Sena, if at all, and especially in Mumbai, where Shiv Sena has its stronghold. The sympathizers and the followers of Shiv Sena would be happy that there is an immediate retaliation to whatever issues come up as far as Shiv Sena's image as a ruling party is concerned. And the government would be, the acts of the government would be appreciated by the core followers of the party, because that is how the party has been functioning all along. That is one thing. But again, going back to the larger issues involved in this particular intervention on part of the central government and the central agencies, investigative agencies, again takes us back to the issues of federalism and the way in which center-state relations are shaping at the moment. And there is a tendency, and there is a very clear trend that we can see in the functioning of the central government, where centralization of the entire machinery of governance is attempted. And I think the contestations between the central and the state government over these issues, these are over the petty issues, but also more important issues like management of the COVID pandemic, or provision of grants, making available grants to the state governments, the GST issue, or the way in which CBI is perceived by the state governments. All these issues ultimately talk about the changing nature of federalism. And Shiv Sena is also sort of struggling with that, the changing nature of federalism. So I don't think the Sushant Singh Rajput controversy really will have much kind of impact. And there is a lot of politicization in the bad sense of the term, where that has been attempted in that controversy. But we have to perhaps remember the larger context also of the way in which federalism is functioning at the moment.
Yes, that's so true. And now Shiv Sena seems to be moving out of Maharashtra. It has announced that it would contest 40 seats in the forthcoming Bihar elections without any alliance partners. They haven't announced any partners yet. So what do you think has prompted the Sena to do so? And that too in a state that is not its traditional home ground. Is it trying to become a pan-national party rather than just being a regional one?
Yes, I mean, again, if we go back to the historical trajectory of Shiv Sena as a political party, it began as a regional party. But as in terms of its leadership, it always had some kind of an ambition to grow politically. And in 1989, since the early 1990s, it has been functioning in alliance with BJP. That alliance, in a way, forced Shiv Sena to remain a political party, remain a regional political party, although it had moved from this agenda of protection of the native Marathi people, that is Marathi nativism, it had moved into Hindutva agenda. And it had adopted a new politics of Hindutva. It became the bearer of new politics of Hindutva. But in spite of that, since BJP always played a more important role in Maharashtra, was forced to sort of remain a regional political party. Now that BJP is not a partner, Shiv Sena is not partnering with BJP, it would definitely nurture these ambitions to grow outside, to spread outside Maharashtra, to go beyond Maharashtra. Earlier also, it had attempted to, and it had tried to go beyond Maharashtra. You may recall Uddhav Thackeray's efforts to become an important figure, an important party in the entire Ram Janmabhoomi, Ram Mandir movement. So in that sense, and the idea that now we don't want to remain a party for the Marathi cause, but also take up the cause of Hindutva and therefore all India national cause. That kind of a dilemma in that sense has always been an existential dilemma for Shiv Sena. And again, I would say that this dilemma is not only confined to Shiv Sena, but it is also a dilemma for many other regional political parties, especially in the context of centralization of the Indian polity and emergence of a single dominant party. The regional parties will also have this ambition to go beyond the respective states, because it talks about a new kind of structuring of the party system and where everyone would like to play some kind of a role. So frankly, I don't see Shiv Sena contesting elections in Bihar as something as a very serious kind of political attempt on part of the party. But it is simply a kind of gesture to suggest that we are there too. And we also want to move beyond Maharashtra. But I don't think there is any kind of a serious investment there as far as the Bihar politics is concerned.
So going forward, how do you view the Shiv Sena government in Maharashtra? Do you think it will be able to last, this alliance will last the full 5-year term? And what impediments do you see that it would face, it could likely face in going forward?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, it's a very interesting kind of, it is poised at a very interesting kind of moment, in the sense that you might have read that one of the prominent leaders of the BJP, a disgruntled leader of the BJP, Eknath Khadse, has recently joined, only yesterday, has joined the Nationalist Congress Party. So again, Maharashtra's politics has become a lot more volatile, and the BJP would definitely, and BJP has been constantly trying to sabotage this coalition as far as possible, the alliance as far as possible. But at the local level, we also see this emergence of interesting dynamics where if prior to the 2019 assembly elections, we saw a large-scale exodus of the congressmen and prominent Congress and NCP leaders to BJP fold. Now we are witnessing a reversal, a small reversal. So it becomes a very interesting kind of moment in Maharashtra. As I said, two or three issues that we may keep in mind while looking at the future of this coalition. One is, as I said, a very tentative, very contingent nature of the party system. The four players in Maharashtra's politics who have been constantly struggling to expand their social as well as political space in Maharashtra's politics. And so far, none of these players, four players, have completely succeeded in taking it over, the political space in Maharashtra. In addition to that, also the social space and the issues of governance. As far as the rule and the matters of governance are concerned, we have seen a complete failure on part of all four players, so to say, so far. And also the contingent nature of electoral politics. So the BJP would definitely try to cut short this coalition and its the effective nature of this coalition as far as possible. But as I said, in that sense, it's a very pragmatic coalition for now. And both the NCP and the Shiv Sena, as long as both Sharad Pawar and Supriya Sule are there, they have invested a great deal in keeping this coalition alive. And the Congress party, fortunately or unfortunately, is a very minor player in this coalition. So given all this, I don't see there is any kind of an immediate threat to the government. But 2022 remains far away still. We are still in 2020 only. But otherwise, because of the pragmatic nature of the coalition, as of now, I do not see any kind of an immediate threat. But the larger issue is whether this coalition and this government would be able to create its own kind of effective agenda, which is different from the agenda that BJP and the central government has at the moment. That is really a crucial issue. I mean, this agenda is not only about secularism and this flippant argument about secularism, that this flippant exchange that happened last week, but it is more about effective agenda of governance and effective agenda of federalization of the polity. So whether this, in spite of their survival, whether this coalition would be able to sort of challenge or create an alternative agenda, implement it effectively, those become very distant kind of issues. And those also, in a way, become somewhat bleak given the current situation of governance in the state.
Very interesting. And finally, I'd like to ask you, what does the departure of the Shiv Sena, one of BJP's oldest allies from the NDA, means for the Shiv Sena, means for the BJP and the political system?
Yeah, there I would again go back to my earlier response, I would say. And that again poses it becomes a larger question for us. What kind of a party system are we having at this stage, at this moment? And what does it signify, the departure of parties like Shiv Sena or the existence of non-BJP parties, opposition parties, in the form of regional parties in various states? And in addition to that, I would also add to it the fact that during the past 3 or 4 years, in the post-2014 period, this kind of a dilemma or this kind of a question arrived again and again. It became prominent again and again because the BJP lost elections in many of these states, like for example Haryana, or the way in which Akali Dal moved out of the alliance, BJP alliance NDA at recently. So all these issues come together where the future of the party system, Indian party system, and the way in which BJP is trying to control this party system would rest. I mean, we need to ask those questions. And Shiv Sena's departure is really, I see it as one kind of an episode in this changing dynamic of the Indian party system. The real issue is that to what extent these electoral contestations or such kind of departures and what we may call as, again, the roughhouse of party politics matters in As far as the way in which BJP is ruling over the country is concerned, the BJP's way of ruling over the country is concerned. So in other words, the BJP, the new party system that is emerging in India at the moment has these two aspects. One is that of electoral politics, where we see these kind of challenges or departures like that of Shiv Sena emerging constantly. On the other hand, we see a complete kind of control of the machinery of governance as well as the political space and ideological space. So there is a kind, certain kind of an hegemonic presence of the BJP. So it would be interesting to see to what extent the electoral politics and the party politics and the contestations in the electoral arena are able to challenge this kind of an agenda of the ruling party and the central government. And this is going to unfold in near future. But I mean, this would be a kind of a futuristic discussion or hypothetical discussion at the moment. But this is where we are sort of placed at the moment. And Shiv Sena becomes, Shiv Sena's departure becomes a small episode in that. The reason I'm saying this is that if you see over the past 1 year or so also, the Shiv Sena has not directly confronted BJP and cannot confront BJP as far as its ideological agenda is concerned. When the Ram Janma Bhoomi decision came, the court's verdict came, Shiv Sena had to celebrate it. So that really becomes the crucial point at which we need to assess the performance of regional parties and their opposition to the BJP in the present context.
Thank you, Dr. Rajeshwari. That was a very, very interesting discussion. Really appreciate you taking your time out to talk to us today.
Thanks for having me.
You were listening to South Asia Chat. To learn more about our work, visit us at isas.nus.edu.sg.